take your seats. This is the first of three. One, two, three. So if you're new in the church, okay, when someone says, I'm just about to do a series, one, two, three, you think, I'm not here next week. Okay, we have onkerneeland.org, which is our website. If you go onto there, so if you miss number two or number three, okay, you can go in there. They're recorded. They're on there. You can keep up to date. Is that all right? Because it's quite an important series that we're looking at. The second thing is what I'm trying to do over the next two, 3 weeks is try and explain. It came out in last week's sermon and the communion. I listened to it on the website. And there was this sort of feeling sometimes that we are promised so much of God. There might be visions and there might be prophecies to this is what will come. But how come sometimes we kind of get to the boundary of it, but never quite get in? Okay, and so I've just been asking the Lord all week, how do I break that down? And to give you some encouragement that it's not that God's promises are not true, because they are. And He has plans to prosper you and do you good, and they are. And maybe have a look and give you some things to think about. Okay, I'm not been doing that, or I could do this, or whatever. Or try and explain some of it. Because one of Satan's biggest ploys is what happens in Genesis. I've said this before. If it's your new time, I'll bang on about it. If you read the first 10 chapters of Genesis, you understand how the world works and forever will work. Satan came in the form of the snake and said to Eve, did God say? Did He say? Did He say it? What did He say? And he twisted it. Sometimes the biggest battle is God expressing His love and His plans and His purpose to His people, and Satan will try and bring fear and doubt that what God has said will not come to true. It will not. It's not true. It's a lie. Number two, what He has said will not come to pass. And number three, even if it does come to pass, you're not going to be part of it. Everybody else in the room might have a glory hallelujah revival, but not you. Okay? And this is what He comes. He comes time and again to every generation, to every church, to every individual. Okay? My dad's a minister. He won't mind me saying this. He won't mind this because he's allowed me to say it in the past. So I'll say it again. He's 81 years of age. He's suffering dementia. And do you know what? He's having a crisis of faith. He was a minister for 40 years. Okay? But he's having a crisis of faith at the moment. What was it all about? Was it worth it? Okay, where's God? He's praying and his dementia's getting worse. You know, and he's struggling. And Satan is bombarding him with fear and doubt that maybe God's changed his mind, he's now a liar. Okay? God's the God of truth and the Bible says this, but it's just for other people. So I'm going to just try and break this down. Is that okay for you over the next 3 or 4 weeks? You'll probably know some of it. You might not know any of it. But it might be that when Steve and Shirley come to preach, okay, and they come with a powerful testimony, you might be in belief mode. That actually it's far away beyond what I could think of, but I do believe it. Okay? Stirring up your faith. All right, we're going to whiz through the first block really quick. There's loads of scriptures. Please bring your notebooks or listen to it on the web and take notes, okay? Because I will not apologise. I'm going to go reasonably fast for the first bit, okay? All right, number one, God loves you. He is always for you. He's not against you. We have to start from that. For God so loved the world. If you can't get past that first line on there, you're not really going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to understand that God loves you passionately. Okay? And God's got a plan and a purpose. He is for you and not against you. You're coming to a God who really wants you to be blessed. Okay? James, we are in an Eland Pentecostal church. They usually say amen and hallelujah at that point, but for some reason, I don't know why. Okay, I apologize. Okay? God really wants to bless you. Amen. All right. Amen. Praise God. That's the first thing. Do you know what the word amen means? No, it says more than that. It's not just agreement. Amen doesn't mean you agree. It releases a prophetic faith word. Let it be so. That's why when the word of God is spoken over you and you don't say amen to it, how can it come to pass? The first block is saying, Lord, if that's your will for my life, let it be so. Bring it on. God wants to richly bless you. Okay? richly bless you, and for you to remain and habitate in that blessing. Amen? Good. Then you give the Holy Spirit permission. Holbein's work says that Jesus stands at the door, and if we don't say, come in, I did it the other day, someone knocked on my door, and I was miles away, I was in the zone, okay, and bless them, they knocked. And I thought I'd heard something, but my neck was a bit, and I didn't turn around. And bless them, about 5 minutes later, they were still stood there. Like, I am so sorry. Okay, why don't you just come in? And they said, because you never said come in. You think it'd be awful getting to heaven when heaven's CCTV cameras show us recordings of God outside our lives going knock, 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 knock. And we had our headphones on. Or we were too busy. The problem is not that God, shall we pray or do things or climb up mountains and do all this to twist God's arm and hopefully, if I'm lucky, and he might just bless me. Before you were even born, before the cell divided from one into two, God had plans to bless you and to do you good. You don't have to convince God to bless you. He's waiting to bless you. Amen? And if we come into agreement, yes, but if we release it and say, do you know what, Lord, I've got no idea where this is going, but do you know what, let it be so. According to your will. Let it be so. I don't care what it is. I know it's going to bless me and do me good. So just bring it on. Bring it on. Amen? Okay. Very, very quickly. Okay. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking at the children of Israel moving from Egypt over into the promised land. Okay? I just want to do the vision of God. God has a vision for your life. The number of people, whether they're young or old, go, well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know where I'm going. I haven't got an idea. I don't plan. God's got an unbelievable vision for your life. I'm not going to ask for hands up here, but this is the first thing I felt God asked me to ask you. Do you have a vision for your life? Your life, according to Scripture, is like grass. It grows up and it dies. By the grace of God, I am 51 years of age. The average age for a man in this country is 83. So if I live averagely, I just have 32 years left. If I haven't got a vision for my life, wouldn't you think that it'd be a good idea to go and find one? And if you haven't got a vision for your life, guess what? Here's the great news. There's one waiting for you. There's a brilliant one for your life. And the first thing the Lord said to me, to remind you, that if you're wandering aimlessly going, well, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Okay, even Alan might mention it at 75. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. If you don't know, God's got a vision. Why not just use that one? Why not just use that one? If you haven't got one, you could wait another 33 years for a vision to turn up that never turns up. And what have we done with our lives? When God said, I had a perfectly good one here, if only you would ask. Amen? So here he goes. Children of Israel, Exodus chapter 3. They're in captivity. Moses is wandering round the desert. It's not going very well. He's been there 40 years. His original vision of letting the captives free had gone pear-shaped. And all he'd got to look at for the 40 years was sand, sheep, sky. That's how exciting his life was until this moment. I'll read it. Now Moses was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb. Sounds like a horrible place, doesn't it? Horeb, the mountain of God. Oh, that changes things. That adds into what you were saying before. Some of the horrible times end up being the places where there's a mountain of God. Can I just say, in your horrible times, I'm going off piste now. Okay? Horeb. So when someone says, what's it like? It's horrible. When you say your life is horrible, there's always a mountain of God there. Get up the mountain. Get up the mountain. Where can you go from His presence? But it's horrible. No, His presence is there. Get up the mountain. Get above it. Okay? All right. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called him, Moses, Moses. He knew his name. Why? Because he's got a vision for his life. You are known by name. God knows you. No shocks, no worries, he'll never accept me, it doesn't matter, he already knows you. He knows everything there is about you, even the number of hairs on your head. And God still has a vision for your life to prosper you and to do you good. Amen? So when you look in the mirror, I don't care what you think. When you look back in that mirror, I don't care. Neither does God. You know, we've got this hang up, and I'm not as good as him, I think you love them more than me, and I've been away from God for so long, I don't think he even remembers. He knows you by name. 40 years in a desert, and he knew him straight away, called him by name. That's better than me. I'm a pastor and I can never remember anybody's name. 40 years, and God said, Moses. Moses didn't even know who he was, it was just a voice. I will go over there. Moses, Moses, here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is on holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of your Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. There's the revelation. The revelation drops in. It's not a bush. It's God. How many times as Christians are we in a horrible place and actually it's God's way of... Oh, it's God. It's God. Now I understand. God wants to bless me. Alright? The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. God is concerned about your suffering. Hello? God is concerned about everything there is about you, including your suffering. And guess what? He still has a plan to bless you and a vision. Your suffering does not negate you from God's vision to bless you. Satan will separate you. And said, you're suffering because God doesn't bless you. Wrong. God's blessings are there. They're new every morning. Because we're suffering, and everybody suffers in different ways, but that does not negate the power and who God is. Nothing is as big as God or his vision for you. So he hears it. So I have come down. I've come down. I'm not asking you to come up. I've come down. Okay? He says, I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of a land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and every other site you are ever going to see. Okay? And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Stopping it there. That is a vision. That's not a vision just for the person in front of him. That's the vision for a whole nation. And God has downloaded that in about 6 verses. Do you think he made that up off the cuff? No. They were on his jobs to do list on his wall for hundreds of years. Ever since Joseph went down to Egypt and they were put in the land of Goshen, he had heard it. Even for the previous 40 years that Moses, the deliverer of Israel, was wandering around the desert. There it is on his wall. Every time God turns up, every single day looks at his office wall. There is the vision for Moses. There is the vision for the people of Israel. And I will go down and I can make it happen. Isn't that wonderful? Now I'm from Manchester and there are vicious rumours about people from Manchester. But if we broke into God's office while he was away, jammed it off the door and we all legged it in, we would see visions for every person's life. We would go through his filing cabinet. We could have a little look. And say, Ginny, we found Ginny's file. Come here, let's have a look. Wow. Whoa. Ginny, have you seen that? That'll never happen in 100 years. Well, according to God, it could happen in 100 seconds. Imagine if we broke into God's office. Peter, there's a file on you. Rummaging through. Peter, Oldham. Poof. Yeah. Whoa, that's so cool. We'd probably all go, I wish I had that one. Tell you a little story years ago. I'm a prophet by trade, so God gives me words, and most of them you will never know about because I just do them, I write them, and I send them. Okay, that's what I do. God downloads it. I had this great thing. You know Satan can speed write occult, by the way. One day God said, there's a word coming, it's going to come really fast. I went, okay. So I got a piece of paper, two pieces of paper, and I got a pen. And I'll tell you now, I wrote four sides of A4 paper in less than 20 seconds. It was so fast that I had no physical, mental understanding of what on earth I was writing. My hand, I was watching my hand doing this, and I was like, what on earth is this? When I finished, I read it. And it was the most fantastic word you could ever ask for as a pastor for your church. I nearly stuck my shirt over my head and ran around in circles shouting, goal, at the top of my voice, because it was brilliant. I was running the church in Peel, and this was the word for my church. Oh my, praise God, this is brilliant. And I ran downstairs and said, Ella, I got this word, and it's for the church, and it's unbelievably, amazingly brilliant, and it's the best word ever in Christian history. And then you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Now I need you to deliver it to another church. I was like, no! It's mine, I want this. And I can tell you now, God has a vision for your life that if you only knew it, the shirt would go over your head and you'd run around shouting, goal! In fact, some of you would just faint. Some of you would just shake. Some of you, your jaw would hit the floor. Because you have no idea of the immensity of the God and the immensity of the vision that He has for your life. God is for you, not against you. And if you allow Him just a space of four verses in your life can change from the backside of the desert to being a man or a woman of God on a mission. It won't just save you, it'll save a whole nation. Some of you are nation carriers. You won't remember, but there was a lady in church when I first got here, and she came from a place called Guyana in South America. And she wasn't here very long. That wasn't anything to do with the preaching. It was just she wasn't here very long. Okay? And she came up and said, would you pray for me? Because I've got to go back to Guyana. And when she got prayed for, God gave her prophetic word. And I'm telling you, she only had a junior position. And God said, she would be taken to the very top of government in Guyana. She was a top table woman. 6 years later, an email came through. You've probably forgotten me, but I am now a civil servant in the Guyanan government, and I get to brief the president of Guyana. What visions God's got for the people of God in this life. You might think I'm an absolute nutter that every time I come up the front I get excited about you, the church. Why? Because I don't live where you live. I live with Ella up in Onken, but I don't live there. I live up there somewhere. The best thing I ever did was to ask the Lord, when I got a prophetic word when I was 4 years of age, I said, amen. Let it be so. And from the age of six, you get dreams like you've never seen. Vivid technicolor dreams. You get words that change lives. I'm just a God's postman. I just get a letter and I go, that one's for you. And it's amazing. That little amen that you should have said at the beginning of the service, I'm going to try and encourage you to say amen. Not just as a response to a pastor at the front who's getting slightly excited about God, but really that you get serious with God and you say for the first time in your life, let it be so. Away we go. Moses has got a decision to make. Everything he can see. He's going to be leader of a whole nation. They're going to invade a whole area. It's going to be land flowing with milk and honey. Everything he's ever wanted for the people of God, all of the prophetic promises God gave to Joseph and Abraham, all coming to pass. It's all coming, but it took two things. Let it be so, and the word go. Let it be so is accepting it, go is doing something about it. And everything God wants to do in your life comes from this. Number one, God loves you and He's got a vision for your life. More amazing than you'd ever hope or dream for. And I'm not making this up. Read the Bible. There's a kid looking after the sheep. The prophet comes to anoint the king of Israel. His dad thinks he's so lame, he doesn't even invite him to lunch. And the prophet's going, oh, it's not this son, it's not that son, ow. It's not this son, it's not that son, it's that. And gets to the end of the line and goes, have you got another son? And Jethro says, oh yeah, the young fella, he's out looking after the sheep. Now the prophet could have gone nuts and said, did God not tell you to invite everybody to the lunch? But he says, go and get him. We'll wait. And this little boy comes running in. Can I just tell you, later on when he fought Goliath, did you hear what his brother called him? He called him a dog. You sneaky little dog. You're only bringing bread to the battle so you can see the battle. His brothers didn't rate him. His dad didn't rate him. But somewhere in heaven was a file. And somewhere in a file. And if Satan can separate you from the promise God's got for you, then he's won. This little lady's going out with this Frenchman, whatever his name is, Henry Le Bon, or whatever it is, Bonnet, Charles Bonnet. Sounds like Charles Dickens, not Charles, what's it, Charles Darwin. He was another one, caused us havoc. Okay? What she said? Yeah, but that's not the vision for my life. It's not the vision for my life. This is the vision for my life. You need to know about Jesus. And I know this is happening. And I know I'm seeing dinosaurs roaming on the Isle of Man or whatever it is. Hallucination here, there and everywhere. And Braddon Church popping up everywhere. But I don't care about that. What you need to know is about Jesus. Let it be so. It's time to go. If you want a prophetic word, because everybody says, oh, he's a prophet, but we don't often hear him prophesy. Here we go. You want one? You've got one. Let it be so. It's time to go. Aren't you glad after 7 months you're here? On a day such as this, let it be so. You've got words on your life, young man. You've got words on your life. He's waiting. Let it be so. Time to go. Sorry for that's just the way I'm going. You're okay with that? Alright? Okay. Praise God. Deuteronomy 28. We're going to go whiz through these now. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Okay, listen to this thing. I'm going to show you the formula. Okay? I know we're led by the Holy Spirit and we're saved by grace and everybody wants to float around and go, whoo. Okay? I'm sorry, but there's formulaic things. Okay, Jesus said, I've not come to do away with the law. I've come to fulfill it. It's a dangerous place. Can I just qualify this? It's a really dangerous place. Okay? If you're all spirit and no word. It's a devastating way. Why? Well, we're saved by grace. Do we need this anymore? Yes, you do. Because this sets the boundaries off. The Holy Spirit then can do anything He wants within the character of God. Once you know the character of God, yeah, you can flow with the Spirit, no problem at all. But you know which way you flow is the right way to go. Okay? This is what God says to the children of Israel. They're ready. They've had this big trek. We're not going through everything else. They're ready to go. 28. Listen to the word. If you fully obey. 28 verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. They haven't got any land yet. Hello? They've not even crossed the Jordan. We haven't got... Are we a nation? I never knew we were a nation. When did we become a nation? We're just a bunch of slaves from Egypt. And now God's saying, oh no, you're not only going to be a nation, but I'm going to make you the nation of all nations. Do you mean there's other nations? So hang on a minute. The nation we have just come from, Egypt, the most powerful army on the known planet at that time, you are going to make us a nation that's going to be bigger than the nation that used to keep us in slavery. Just think about that for a second. If that doesn't blow your head off, nothing else will. God rescues you from slavery of sin and the powers of hell and everything in it, and says that I will make you a great nation, greater than where you've come from. That's why as Christians we can walk with the authority of Jesus Christ. Does it not say, back in Genesis, that's the one, okay, chapter 3, that the sole of your feet will crush his neck? They've just sinned, they're going out of Eden, sin's entered the world, there's death, destruction and everything. And God says, now here's a vision for you. There's a day coming when your seed, generation, 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 Jesus Christ, and then salvation, death, resurrection, Holy Spirit, 2,000 years later, you accept him as Lord and Saviour, and Lord Jesus Christ comes to live in you. Okay, talk about a vision, it's thousands of years in advance, hello? And that's why Christians are allowed to have power and authority and crush Satan's neck. Now do you know why Satan doesn't want you to have the vision? Because what happens to Satan? People like you and me, just human beings, flesh and blood, have the power of the Holy Spirit that says, I am going to let it be so. I'm into this, amen? Let it be. Do you want to cause absolute havoc for hell? Then you say to God, let your vision be so. It's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. Now you know why there's a battle over the vision. But God, look at this word, says to the children of Israel, here's the vision, it will come to pass, I have come down to make it happen. Doesn't that make... There's the model. Is that not the same thing as you said to Moses? For God so loved the world, saw its suffering and under sin and blah, 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 that he sent his only beloved son. I have come down. See, it's patterns. You can understand God. It's quite easy. But he says to the people of Israel, here's the big word. If you fully obey the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you. Who wants the blessings? It's optional. You don't have to, but can I just say something to you? I know you come to church this morning. Can I just say it's okay? I respect your individuality and your free will. You do not have to be blessed. Okay. I am not. Just if you're feeling upset about being blessed by God and you don't want it, you don't have to have it. Is that alright? You're free here not to have a blessing. Doesn't that sound stupid? If you get to choose. Unfortunately, in verse 15 it says, however, if you do not obey God, if, down to you, if you do not obey the Lord God, do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, then all these curses will come upon you. Do you realize that you are in 100% control on what happens to you because you have free will given to you by God? So you can say to God, let it be so today. Or you can tell him you'll have a think about and you'll get back to him. Or you can actually say no. God of free will. It's fine. But the Bible is absolute categoric that if we, then we get blessed. If we disobey, we get cursed. Again, Satan will spend most of his life in the Christian church doing this. it's God's fault. And you come and agree it. Yeah, it's because it's God. Or it's Mrs. Muggins. In the congregation, if it wasn't for her, I would be living under complete blessing now. Okay? Satan will go, yeah, believe that. Let it be so? Yeah? Are you going to let it be so? Are you going to agree with that? Or he'll say, it's me. And we blame everybody else we can, but the word of God is categoric that says, if. It's up to us. The vision is there. Everything's there. All the blessings are there. The 4,000 year plan is all there. It's like after the service, if I say there's tea and cake downstairs, it's up to you. If you want cake, get down there quick. Because there's one or two cake wallers in this place, and you've got to move really fast if you want a piece of cake. But if you don't, but you can't sit there and go, oh, the cake's gone, I never got a piece of cake, I'm not going back to that church. It was there. And God's saying to them, if, Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Here we go. Here's the vision. Think about the vision. Okay. He's talking about Solomon. Solomon's just made the temple. God's going to reside in the temple. Big things are going to happen. Okay. And he says this. When I shut up heavens, so there's no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people. If my people, there's that word again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Okay? Do you want one more? Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi and chapter 3. Are you getting to the conclusion that God really wants to bless you? Okay? Malachi and chapter 3. Oh, I love this one. Can I just get this ready? Okay? You get lots of styles in church. If you go back through church history, okay, we're going for Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, Jill. Thanks. Okay? Can I just say something to you? If you go back through church history, do some history. Okay, and this is a rough history of the church in Great Britain. Okay, Henry VIII wanted to get a divorce, so he sacked the Catholic Church. Okay, and he had the Reformation. The Reformation meant you could read your own Bible in English. Okay, and you could talk to God on your behalf. And men got burnt at the stake for that. Don't ever, ever, ever. This Bible is in English. And men gave their life to change it from Latin into English. There are people who've gone to every corner of the earth, translators, the Wycliffe Society, who went out and they died of malaria trying to get to tribes, to get to understand the language, to change the Word of God into someone else's language, into local languages. This Bible is over into 400, 600, 800 different languages around the world. Men have given their life. So you can read the Bible, and then every day, if my people will read their word. So after them, about 1640, you have the Puritans, and the Puritans looked at the Church of England and said, oh, you're so old-fashioned, let's do something new. So they did something new. They shaved their heads. Okay? They banned Christmas. They did loads of other things. Okay? Then later on in 1750, you've got the Methodists. They all arrive. They look at the Puritans and the Anglicans and say, God's maybe passed you by. Let's have a revival. John Wesley went riding around on his horse and the Methodist church blew up. Okay? By the way, before the Pentecostals, the Holy Spirit was alive and kicking in the Methodist church and in the Quakers. The Quakers got their name because they used to quake in the presence of God. Sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. The Ealing Pentecostal church is not the home of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully we're at home with the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not a monopoly. Then you get the Baptists, and then you get the Pentecostals, and then you get the Free Church movement, then you get the Charismatic movement, and everybody, and then you get back to this verse, and I love it. Verse 6, Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. Aren't human beings funny? But it's also a warning. that when we read the verses out of Deuteronomy, God's not changed. Yeah, but I go to a New England Pentecostal church. So what? He doesn't change. Sin is sin. Heaven is heaven. Hell is hell. The word of God changeth not. Amen? Makes it a bit awkward. And here's what also doesn't change not. If my people. If. It's all down to you. And one of the reasons, like I said right at the beginning, why we sometimes have all these words and they don't come to pass, or seemingly these things do not come to pass, it's down to that little word called if. And the decision that all of us make, let it be so, it's time to go. I was flying in Royal Mail when God spoke to us. Isle of Man. Wanting to go as missionaries to the Isle of Man. I wasn't a minister. I was just John. There was a time before I was just John once. And there was me and Ella and little James, God bless him, toddling away, 3 years of age. Get on a boat, come to the Isle of Man. It was a completely wrong job. The house falls through. We don't even know why we're here. But God had spoken to us. And we said, let it be so, we'll go. All of the blessings I've had, and I'll still say here, I'm the most blessed man here. You can count your blessings, but I've got more. Alright? We could have a blessing face-off, couldn't we? Okay? You've heard of those rap battles? We have a rap battle, we could have a blessing battle. Okay? My army's bigger than yours. Okay? Do you know, this morning I can show you my diary. I put 3 B's in my diary today. I keep up a diary. Every time I get a blessing, I put B. I'll just show you. This is why I'm more blessed than you. Because I had 3 before half of you done your hair this morning. I'm blessed. I got up this morning at 7 o'clock and it was sunny. I was blessed. I was in my dressing gown, sat on the bench in my back garden, very secluded by the way, okay, but I can see the sea. There were no cars, there were just birds, there was silence. I saw the seagulls flying over and I could see the sea, and I was feeling a bit better today. So I put a B in my diary and said I'm blessed. And do you know why I'm more blessed than you? Because I write them all down, so I remember them. So when I'm having a dog awful day, pastor's allowed a dog awful day. Yeah, there are troubles in this world. And just because you're a pastor, you don't get away with them. But if I'm really struggling to write that day, I flip back through my diary. And if you go and I'll let you look, you're not allowed to look in them. But you can have a look. Now you know why my office looks a bit scruffy. But on my windowsill, you will see diary after diary after diary after diary. For every year I've been a pastor. And I'll tell you now, because I was sad one day and I went to count them. I only got 3 diaries and I was into the thousands. See, you forget your blessings. I don't, because I write them down. And every time Satan says, God doesn't love me, I go, yeah, right. If my people. So this is the last one. You'll be pleased to know. I am the Lord, I do not choose, so you. I love it when God gets direct. So I unfortunately did it to James. James at the back. Say hello to him. He's from Nigeria. We love him to bits. Okay. Never met him before, but we love him a bit. All right. He's a Chelsea fan, but we'll pray for that. Just calm down. There's a guy, a United fan on the front here. He's getting a bit twitchy. He's actually, were you crying then, Keith? He was crying. All I said was he was a Chelsea fan, and he's like, no, God, no, no. Not a Chelsea fan. We'll pray for him. He'll be all right. He'll fit in eventually. Okay. We've come today because God's got a vision for your life. You don't have to think he hopes he makes one up, or he's got, it's like Father Christmas. You know when you see Father Christmas when you were a kid and you got there really late and you hope there was still a present at the bottom of the bag? God's not like that. He's got everything you need, if. But I love it when he's straight. And let's just get straight this morning. God's saying, you. So, you. And I love words. And when I was asking the Holy Spirit a number of years ago about the word so, okay, the word if is in spite of fear. IF. And in faith. Every time I see the word if, this is a bit scary. Letting go and letting God, and saying let it be so, I'm going to go, that's scary. But if I remember the word if, in spite of fear, because fear is going to come, but in faith, it's not there yet, but I'll do it. Alright? The word so, do you know what the Holy Spirit told me about so? It's when the supernatural hits the ordinary. It's when so, the supernatural wants to hit the ordinary. And every time in the New Testament you'll see it. So, one day, and I know something's going to happen, where God's going to touch the life of a person, because he said the word so. This is this one. So, you. Sounds quite abrupt, doesn't it? Oi, you. So, you. What are you going to do about it? The supernatural wants to hit the ordinary. The supernatural. This whole Bible is full of the supernatural power of the living God hitting ordinary people. Now you lot are all posh, but I'm ordinary. I'm just an ordinary guy from Manchester. I have an ordinary level of education. I came from an ordinary family. I lived in a pretty ordinary street. I'm just ordinary. But I tell you one thing, supernatural got hold of the ordinary and I've lived a life you'd never even dream of. So I love it when God goes, oi, so you, what are you going to do about it? Here's the offer. I have a vision for you. If, in spite of fear, in faith, it's not happened yet, but I've got a plan to prosper you and to do you good. So you are going to do what? And this is what it all comes down to. Answers one of the major questions about why, if God's got prophetic words and plans and purposes and we know in our heart that God wants to do something, why doesn't it come to pass? One of the major things is because God is still asking this generation, me, you, this church, the churches on this island, so you are going to do what? Let it be so and go? Or sit and pray about it. And all through this Bible, you will see characters get to the threshold of what God's got for them, and it comes down to one step. Let it be so. I'll go. Then I'll show you what happens. Look at this for a vision for your life. It says here, and I won't pull my punches on this, this robbery is not about tithe. Do you know your life is a tithe? You're a living tithe. Okay? Okay? Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and have kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. There's a vision. Okay? Says the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you said, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a... You have to be. Because you're not... You can't be under a blessing because you didn't go that way. You went that way. You went that way. So you're under a curse. It's not going to be a blessing, is it? Why do we expect it to be a blessing when it's a curse? Now she's on the front row. I love it a bit. It's our 25th anniversary. But if I decide to leg it off with some floozy, okay, why on earth, in the state I'm in, I probably won't make it to the door before you hear an axe would land in the back of my head. That's why Ella's handbag is always so heavy. You ever pick Ella's handbag up, it's heavy because she has an axe in it. Actually, when we first got married, there was an axe under the bed, but we won't go there. Okay? That's a true story, okay? Her dad presented her with an axe. She was a single mum. And he said, in case of fire, put an axe under your bed. So, to break a window, obviously. So when I got married, I looked under the bed, there was an axe. So, sweetheart, your first husband did commit suicide, didn't he? You didn't... Did you help him in any way? I've had enough, love. Use that, yeah. Okay, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse. If you're under a curse, as a born again, spirit-filled Christian, I'm qualifying that statement. If you are under a curse, as a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, you don't have to be. Some of it's because you don't understand where you should be living, and some of it is because we may have accepted it, that that's just the way life is. That's who I am. I hate this statement. It's a modern one. It is what it is. Not in God's book, it isn't. Alright? In Tithra, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Here's a vision. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. See how it never changes. Did he not say this? This is the last book of the Old Testament. And did he not say this to the children of Israel before they even got the land? They were slaves leaving Egypt. And he said, you're going to be the nation above nations. And if you do all these things, let's look at Solomon, the temple, if my people, all that lot, there's the vision. And yet he's saying to them, why hasn't it come to pass? And one of the reasons is because we've robbed God. I love you as a pastor, but I'm not pulling the punches. Is that all right? It's not God's fault that his vision does not come to pass. If. That's the foundation. It does get better than that. If you're looking for a bit more, ooh, that's nice. I've left it on a little bit of a limb because I have to leave it here because that's what I felt God say. It's over to you. If you haven't got a vision for your life, God's got a vision for your life. And it's a really, really good one. Number two, we have to, of our own free will, say, let it be so. I'm going to go. Number three, deal with those little ifs. Because those ifs swing big doors that shut doors or open them. If my people. So God is for us, not against us. God has got a vision for our lives and the nation. It's far bigger than us. God, isn't it fantastic? God's blessing is always bigger than us. If you could, and if the island did, then the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom, the world. Instead of sending more warships to the Gulf, maybe we'd be sending more Bibles and missionaries around the world. Isn't it pretty ironic that as a nation, God forgive us, if you go back 150 years, after a sermon like this, there'd be a queue of five or six people waiting to go to the mission field. And now Britain has to accept missionaries from around the world because we're going down the pan. If my people, because we're no longer living under the blessing, because there is a way that seems right unto a man, but it leads only unto death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you don't change, and neither does your word. And what's wonderful is that our life can go up and down and sideways and round and round in circles, but you don't change. And Lord, you've made yourself very easy to get to. Lord, each one of us who know you as our Lord and Saviour, all we've got to do is one step. Lord, we might take our shoes off and go and sit in the back room after this service. But some of us need to let it be so and go. Forgive us, Lord, where we've not committed our whole life to you. We want all of the blessing for only half of our life. Lord, this morning, be straight with us. We can't strike a deal with you. We're not Alan Sugar, Lord, where we have to come in and try and do a deal. I'll go to church on Sundays if you give us all your blessings. I'll give you my 10%, providing you make me a millionaire. It's not like that. It never has. never will. But if my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways and pray, then I will. So Lord, we thank you that the supernatural is hovering over us today by your Spirit. We're just ordinary, but you want to do a work in us and through us to the blessing of our families and our communities and our nations. Forgive us, Lord, when we've blamed you for things that haven't come to pass. When the honest, stark truth is that we didn't let it be so. We wanted it to be us and what we wanted to do. Lord Jesus, I thank you for showing us the way. When you said to the Father on the worst night of your life, when blood was dripping out of your forehead, if this cup can be taken from me, let it be done. But if not, may your will be done. Lord Jesus, I thank you for just saying, let it be so. I'll go to the cross. For men and women such as this. Because, Lord, we thank you that you were in your Father's office and saw the plans he had for each one of us. Plans to prosper us and do us good. And you knew that a great devourer would rob, steal and destroy it. But you said, I want them to have this blessing so much that I will die for it. Lord, I pray that you'd wash away all fear, that we give seeds of fresh faith, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. And Lord, whatever you ask us to do each day, that we will be saying a simple, let it be so, I'll go to the glory of the name of Jesus, and that your heaven will be on earth in our generation for this island and for the world around us. Bless us and make us a blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.